depends really how much you can access or contact the presence of the Lord, who comes whenever devotees assemble and glorify Him. So in itself, the 1st of January is just another, let me say, is another calendar day, a calendar day which marks a new beginning in this solar calendar. But it can be made into a very nice day of inspiration, Krishna consciousness, if you are able to access this energy. So in this last lecture, which I'm going to start now, I will put some thoughts together and try to give you some good inspirations to take home. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Oh, this is, I offer this garland to Srila Prabhupada it's really him who has brought us all together here. It's really him. Just a few days, was it a few days before the 24th, we had a very well-known figure in our Gaura Bhavan. It was a famous adventurist who makes adventures and has the TV there, and he has a video camera there, and the video camera records his adventures, and he then sells it to the TV and writes books. He had broken the Guinness World Record in crossing the Sahara Desert in a very brief time. Then he broke another record by going from the North Pole to the South Pole on bicycle, you know. So this adventurer was with us, and we had we chanted, we read from the Bhagavatam, we discussed, and so on. And he wrote me an email and said, I thank you so much that you allowed me to go into this spiritual space with you. This was my greatest adventure so far. And can you please keep in contact? And then I thought, well, why is he so open? One meeting and he is melting away. Then I found out that his father had met Srila Prabhupada in San Francisco, imagine, during the Ratha Yatra, and had a brief moment of a personal darshan, and got a Bhagavad Gita, and he somehow told his son, if you can ever meet devotees, wow, that's your best event in your life. And I really stopped for a moment and said, what if Prabhupada would not have come? The adventurer would not have met us, but we also would not have been into celebrating Sangamela or doing what we do now. So it's good to keep this focus in our mind and be attentive to this focus. That's our living, that's our connection. Should remain alive, this connection. Good, so let us sing Jai Radha Madhava. Jai Gopal is ready. You were very good acting yesterday, dancing, singing, remembering 5,010 sentences. Very nice. And Madhavendra Puri with dreadlocks. Was drunken in ecstatic state of love of God, prema, highest level for 10 minutes.
I'm going to be offensive.
I'm
Sanyasi Samapayetta.
Narayanaye Samapayetta.
Yes, please, someone else.
Kayena Vacha Manasendriyarva.
Kayena Vacha Manasendriyarva.
Bhūdhyātmanā vānuṣṛtā svabhāva.
Bhūdhyātmanā vānuṣṛtā svabhāva.
Karoti yadyat sakalam parasmai.
Karoti yadyat sakalam parasmai.
Narayana yeti samarpayetat.
Narayana yeti samarpayetat.
Kayena vacha manasendriyarva.
Kayena vacha manasendriyarva.
Bhūdhyāt manavānuṣṛtā svabhāva.
Bhūdhyāt manavānuṣṛtā svabhāva.
Karoti yat yat sakalam parasmai.
Karoti yat yat sakalam parasmai.
Narayana yeti samarpayetā.
What is this, please?
Kayena vacha manasendriyarva.
Kayena vacha manasendriyarva.
Bhūdhyāt manavānuṣṛtā svabhāva.
Bhūdhyāt manavānuṣṛtā svabhāva.
Narayana
yeti samarpayetta.
Kayena vacha manasendriyarva.
Kayena vacha manasendriyarva.
With the body.
With the body.
Vacha.
Vacha.
Mind.
Mind.
Manasa.
Manasa.
It was speech really. And manasa is mind. Indriya.
Indriya.
Senses.
Senses.
Vah. Or.
Or.
Buddhya.
Buddhya.
With the intelligence.
With the intelligence.
Atmana. Purified consciousness.
Purified consciousness.
Or.
Or.
Anushita.
Anushita.
Followed. Svabhava.
Svabhava.
According to one's conditioned nature.
According to one's conditioned nature.
Karoti.
Karoti.
Wonders.
Wonders.
Yat yat.
Yat yat.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Sakalam.
Sakalam.
All.
All.
Parasmai.
Parasmai.
To the Supreme.
To the Supreme.
Narayanaya iti.
Narayanaya iti.
Narayanaya iti.
Narayanaya iti.
Thinking this is for Narayan.
Thinking this is for Narayan.
Samapaye.
Samapaye.
He should offer.
He should offer.
Tat.
Tat.
That.
That.
Translation. In accordance with the particular nature one has acquired in one's conditioned life, whatever one does with the body, the words, the mind, the senses, the intelligence, or purified consciousness, one should offer that to the Supreme Thinking. This is for the pleasure of Lord Narayana. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has commented in this regard that a person who engages all the sensory activities of his body, mind, birth, intelligence, ego and consciousness, in the service of the Supreme Lord, cannot be considered to be on the same level as a kami, working for his personal sense gratification. Although apparently still a conditioned soul, one who offers the fruits of all his activities to the Lord can no longer be touched by the countless miseries that arise from the reactions to materialistic activities. I will read you a few commentators to this verse. This verse, my dear devotees, is describing how, although we are conditioned and we have a conditioned body, our words are not spoken from the level of pure knowledge, our mind and senses are conditioned, our intelligence can only see a certain sphere, it can overlook certain things, but we can't understand everything. And we have a consciousness which is very limited, but still one can offer this. So about this, Srila Swami comments, one may still be in the bodily concept of life even, but he should offer the fruit of his work to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those with a primitive materialistic concept of the Supreme Lord consider the Lord present only in a temple or a church. They make some offering to the Lord in the place of worship, but in their normal activities, this verse talks about normal activities, not the ones which you do when you are in the temple and where you sing, maybe offer, but in their normal activities, these people claim proprietorship, not thinking that God is present everywhere and within everyone. Now, once again, this talks about offering everything, even our normal activities, to Krishna. And here is another comment by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This will, I think, awaken your curiosity. You think, what? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given a nice description of how one should offer one's ordinary activities to the Supreme Lord. He says that an ordinary sense gratifier begins his activities in the morning by passing stool and urine, cleaning his mouth, brushing his teeth, bathing, meeting his friends and family members, and discussing with them the day's business. For an ordinary person. In this way, one has so many activities during the day, and a sense gratifier executes all these activities for his personal material enjoyment. A kami, on the other hand, working under the jurisdiction of the Kama Kanda section of the Vedas, will perform the same activities for the pleasure of the demigods and his forefathers. But a devotee, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, should similarly perform all his daily activities for the pleasure of the Lord. That means getting up and doing the morning routine, all for the pleasure of the Lord. Bathing for the pleasure of the Lord. Meeting his friends and family members for the pleasure of the Lord. Discussing with them the day's business for the pleasure of the Lord. What is going on? This is a new thing for us. We may also be limited. I think now we come to the temple and we are good. We dress in clean clothes and we sing. we dance and we give a donation, maybe, bring something, encourage devotees, don't quarrel like we ordinarily do, and so on. You know, but then I have my life, there's something else. But here, the two come together. The religious life, if you so want, and the ordinary life, and it all together becomes a spiritual life. And this we need now to discuss and think, because it can, I feel, give us an orientation for the next year. How can we spiritualize all our life? Because if we have 10% spiritual life and 90% material activities, we will be disturbed and dissatisfied with the imbalance in our life. So, Hare Krishna. At the same time, we can't be monks in the temple, or we don't want to be, but it's not our calling, our inner calling. So, but how can we still have a total spiritual life? This is explained, and my dear devotees, it was new for me, and I can imagine you will get some new insights also if you are kind enough to hear patiently. And let us offer our obeisances. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishaya Udale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Lidhinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachaline Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Dayati Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadharam Shri Vasadi Gopakarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Bhagavatam, there is an interesting discussion about what is an intelligently led life. First of all, intelligence is defined as making use of something so that you get a very high result. If you can do that, then you are described to be intelligent. And the Bhagavatam defines, makes it clear, that the supreme intelligence of the intelligence and the cleverness of the most clever is if you can take your temporary and unreal existence to achieve Krishna, the eternal reality. Esha buddhimatam buddhir manisha cha manishinam yat satyam anriteneha matyenapnotimamritam. This process, the Bhagavatam says, is the supreme intelligence of the intelligent and the cleverness of the most clever. For by following it, one can in this very life make use of the temporary and unreal and achieve me, the eternal reality. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says a devotee may not be intelligent to make a lot of money. And he may not be intelligent to study the very fine philosophical details and difficult passages in the Shastra. But he is intelligent in the sense that he can use this temporary material body, which is with us for a few years only, and attain the Lord. Now, these are his words. The inhabitants of Bharat Bhumi. Bharat Bhumi is the earth planet. It's us here. The inhabitants of Bharat Bhumi, who are mortal and born in low families, can offer me their bodies, which are actually not worth a penny. I have heard nowadays the body is worth €3.40. So, but at that time a penny had more value. You know. So therefore one can say at that time it was not worth a penny, because it's assumed that water is for free. You know, so. So, the inhabitants of Bharat Bhumi, who are mortal and born in low families, can offer me their bodies, which are actually not worth a penny, for they are often deformed and will eventually be afflicted with old age and disease. But through their offering of this temporary body, which is not so valuable if you look at the chemical compositions, but through their offering they can attain me, the ocean of sweetness. I will accept their offerings. I, who am supposed to be the most clever, will give myself with joy to the devotees, along with my priceless ornaments, my bracelets, and even my crown. So aren't these inhabitants of Bharat Bhumi the most intelligent and skillful? They are, if they make use of this. So sometimes it is thought that only if you can really offer something very, very useful to Krishna is your offering accepted. We laugh at the spider who shook his little legs to bring dust into the ocean to build the bridge of Rama. Or we laugh at the little child who paints a little crooked painting and puts it on the altar and says, what is the use? There's this nice painting stuff. This we can offer to Krishna. Only the best. But who can offer the best? Something. But Krishna sees differently. He thinks of something was offered to me. Even though it is apparently useless, he accepts it. There's a verse on this in the Bhagavatam where Krishna describes his mind. It's a verse which comes before this amazing verse which describes intelligence as offering something which is temporary in order to get the eternal. This verse is actually really amazing. It says there are a few useless things which in this world we consider useless. Like, for instance, when you cry in a dangerous situation, it doesn't really make a difference of the situation. It doesn't make, you know, a difference. I'm reminded of a car accident which I was there in the car, and I had just woken up from sleep, and I could see the car was going off the road, and the driver was fast asleep. And I remember I was crying before the car hit the telegraphenmast, you know, the pole, the telephone wire was there. But it did make a difference. Or if you become fearful, then you are confronted with terrifying things and you are afraid. Doesn't make a difference. It's useful. Or when you lament, you have lost your new mobile telephone. It doesn't make a difference. These are expressions of feelings which are not useful because they cannot change the situation. But if you take the very same thing, like crying in a dangerous situation, or when you're fearful, and you, or your lamentation, this is something for Mata Tis, maybe, so keep in mind, maybe not. And you offer that to Krishna, all of a sudden everything changes. Listen to the verse here. O Uddhava, says Krishna, greatest of saints, in a dangerous situation, an ordinary person cries, or he becomes fearful and laments. Although such useless emotions do not change the situation. But if activities offered to me without personal motivation, even if they are externally useless, even these useless things, they come to the actual process of religion. In other words, everything which gets connected with Krishna, even so-called useless things, help you to advance in bhakti. And now this is a new concept for many of us. So let us hear a little bit more and explore this a little bit more. The great Acharya Sridhar Swami gives a practical example. He says, Krishna always protects and maintains his devotees. That's his promise. He is truthful to his word. He doesn't break his promise. But when the devotee cries to the Lord for protection or maintenance, desiring to continue his devotional service unimpeded, Lord Krishna doesn't say, why do you cry for this? Why do you ask for this? Not necessary. Lord Krishna accepts such apparently unnecessary appeals to be the highest religious process. He thinks, wow, this devotee turns actually to me. He sees this. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explores this thing a little bit further. And I really thought maybe he's going too far. He says, just as a material person starting in the morning performs actions such as urinating, passing stool, washing his mouth, brushing his teeth, bathing, and so on and so forth. So the devotee will also do these same activities as service to the Lord. These become angas. Angas means limbs of bhakti. Just like the other angas which we hear in the nectar of devotion. I can see I think we might appreciate free oxygen. Let's have a little dose. Are you with me so far? This needs a little bit more exploration, isn't it? The point here is that all of us have a certain nature. We are limited. I have seen some of you who were with me whenever they were a little hungry. They became really, then nothing worked any longer in life, not even Krishna consciousness. It's a conditioned nature. When we are hungry, we are hungry. We feel disturbed. Or others, I know I have sometimes when I know I have sometimes, anyways, I don't want to speak in such a way that you know about whom I'm speaking. I don't know. This is really unfair to do it. But I have observed certain conditioned natures in myself. I can offend myself. That is very easy. I have seen, for instance, something very embarrassing. I used to revolt against my influential father a lot when I was a young person. And now when I visit my father, I see there are certain things where I'm exactly like him. And it disturbs me like anything. This is called a conditioned nature. You have acquired it. It's like something which is like a glove. Glove is hanshu, which is put over your... the glove is put over the hand. So this conditioned nature, which is really not your own, is put over your soul. And all of a sudden, you are very limited in what you do. I think if any one of us would see how limited we are from the outside, because we only think we are saints, but everyone else can see we are not Madhavendra Puri for all this, but we think, no, we have these natures, so this large, strong Madhavendra Puri nature, a strong saint nature, or a strong, I'm a devotee, no? But you would see. You would see a conditioned living entity. And that's difficult to confront. But this is not a problem according to this verse. Because if you don't use this conditioned body and mind for your sense gratification, but to do something in service for Krishna, then this is the highest religious process. Yesterday, I was reading in a book the story of my life. It's written by Satswarup Maharaj. And he remembers a time when he came to Srila Prabhupada and he was disturbed about his conditioned nature. He said, "Prabhupada, what of my many personalities is really myself?" He was thinking of this concept that each person, maybe he has an adventurous side, he has also a homely side where he likes to stay at home in the warm and drink good ginkgo tea, or you know, he has an intellectual side for him, and he has also, it's very simple. So Satsvarupa Maharaj said, "What of my many roles and actually what is me?" And Prabhupada gave a very interesting answer to this complicated question. Do you acknowledge that this is a complicated question? Do you sometimes also wonder what is really here? What is my real self in all of this? And Prabhupada said, he smiled at him and he said, "This Steve," that was his name before initiation, "is a nice boy. He offers service. He types my lectures, my dictations. He types my books." So Prabhupada gave a very intelligent answer. He said, "Let us not care about these different false roles and masks. Let us see that you are doing service. You're using your conditioned nature." He was a literary man. He liked to type, and you know, the 10-finger typing method, and he liked to read, and therefore he assisted Srila Prabhupada in printing his books. And Prabhupada said, this is you. You are a servant and you use what you can in the service of Krishna. That is the real self." Nice, no? Ask yourself, like, we are all complex personalities and we have a different conditioned nature. How do you use this conditioned nature in Krishna's service? What have you done with your nature to please Krishna? If the little child who cannot paint like who is a good painter, Van Gogh maybe, I do not know, like I don't like Van Gogh, I don't know, Picasso is even worse. any child, anyways. Not a point here. A little child who may not be able to use colors and produce form uses his nature in service of Krishna. For Krishna, he accepts it in the same way as a Van Gogh offers his paintings. Krishna, no? Famous painter. Krishna wants that we turn to him in service. What have you done today? Or what are you going to do today for Krishna? That will decide if you are intelligent or not. When you can use your conditioned nature for Krishna, then you can you use your temporary body. For instance, I will use my body to respect prasadam for Krishna. I'm a lover of foodstuffs. I use that to eat only prasadam. I'm very careful, only prasadam. And I respect the prasadam as a gift of the Lord. And that's turning to Krishna already. I will do also other things. I'm now trying to give a lecture. Then I will sing when I go in my room for my deities, and I have a whole plan of doing things for Krishna. They may not be useful, this activity. Krishna may not need them. They may look even foolish if we compare them to the services which others can give. But by just giving what you can give and present to Krishna, even if they are so-called useless things, even like this verse has said, then this is celebrated as the supreme person. Jiva Goswami gives an example of this in his Bhakti Sandarbha. It was a mouse who died during an No, I will start with a shocking example. It's a servant who had illicit sex in the night of Janmashtami. This servant was serving in the house of his master, and Janmashtami came. And somehow, his physical appetite came out. And there was a maid servant, and they had an illicit relationship during Janmashtami. Now, this is terrible. I don't know what the master said when he heard about it. But Krishna thought, they stayed up all night in Janmashtami. This is my dear devotees, this is Anucheta Bhagavatam, from Anucheta 153. You can read it there. Let us come to a more pleasant example. But let us understand the point, why does Jiva Goswami use this example from the Brahmanda Purana? He wants to bring it in our head. Offer your body, mind, and intelligence and do something for me, for Krishna. Do service for Krishna. He chokes us. No, what? What? And so on. Another example, quite shocking also, but in a different category shocking. It was a mouse who died on an altar from a heart attack. Listen about this mouse. You have heard about it was a mouse who stayed on the altar because it drank the ghee from the oil lamps. It lived from the ghee. It was a very healthy looking mouse. So one day, by the will of Providence, the mouse came to the altar lamp, where the light was already extinguished. And while it drank, one of its tooth got stuck in the gewick, and the gewick again caught fire. But because it was, it was stuck in the tooth, the mouth couldn't get it out of the tooth and died on the altar. The pujari found the healthy little mouse and understood, wow, this is why the ghee was always sold in little quantity. Now what happened with the mouse? Krishna thought, arati? Maybe not perfect arati. No bell was missing, and the right number of circles, I can't imagine that there. But he was so satisfied that he gave that mouse a rebirth as a queen who became firmly fixed in bhakti. What do you think was the service of the queen? Yes, offering lamps to the Lord. It picked up Sri Mausji. Shimaki mouse picked up her devotional service where it was left in the previous life, and as a queen, exalted queen, she was found to offer lamps to the Lord. Although there were ample priests, she was a queen of the country, but she would not let the priests do the customary the artics at the temple of her palace. She would personally offer the artics. And at the end of that life, the life of a queen, she attained the divine abode of the Supreme Personality of God. These are all examples from Shastras which are given to us. Jiva Goswami remarks so that we understand. When an authentic practitioner of bhakti and expresses the desire to preserve his or her physical body, it is an eagerness to increase the worship of the Lord and not merely to protect the body. So when a devotee, in other words, eats, when he takes a bath, which maintains his body and does other bodily maintaining activities, then these useless things, I mean useless things, or these, let us say material activities, you could say, are helping him to maintain the body for service of Krishna, and he becomes very, very satisfied. My dear devotees, again, this class is called Living the Bhagavatam, and what can I do? I'm not so shastrically informed. You see, I always need notes because I cannot remember all the points alone. But I have seen in my life, this is now alive, this lives in me. I want to say, this I have experienced in my own life. That this turning to Krishna in whatever situation we have and offering ourselves to Krishna has a magic in it which is indescribable. I think it was yesterday when I met a devotee. I'm meeting so many devotees that I forget. Or the day before yesterday. And the devotee told me, I asked the devotee, what was your experience during this last year? Please tell me a highlight. And the devotee told me something. He said, Maharaj, I don't know if I could say it to you, if you will understand me. I don't want that you get a wrong impression of me. But I'm not a good devotee. I find my mind often distracted from the path.
path of Krishna consciousness. But I have noted one thing, that if I sincerely turn to Krishna by praying to Him, He's immediately there. And to be very honest, I couldn't believe that in the beginning. I thought I'm imagining things. How can Krishna care about my offering? Or my turning to Him? I can understand that He takes care of the book distributors who do so much sacrifice for Krishna, of the devotees who live in the temple, who have a program of 8 hours or 6 hours or 4 hours or 3.5 hours of service for Krishna. No? I can understand that Krishna likes this, but me, I thought I'm useless for Krishna, because I'm not a good devotee. But it seems He's there when I turn to Him. And I said to the devotee, "My dear devotee, let me read you a prayer and you will get courage. It's a prayer of a desperate soul who understands on my own I just can't conquer my mind and my senses. I seem to always stray from the path." Also abweichen von the path. But still Krishna is there to help this soul. And I read this prayer. Can I read this prayer to you?
Yes.
Put the orchestra here. Their addiction to worldly enjoyment. Maybe it's a person who like it, keeps on liking to drink or something. Oh Gopinath, I request you, please reside in my heart, come in my heart, and from there restrain my mind, diverting it towards you. Thus you will end my terrible dilemma. O Gopinath, you have seen that I am without shelter. You are the master of the senses. So please subdue my senses and deliver me, free me from this dark and dangerous worldly existence. Now this path, when you turn to Krishna, even though, and with the offering which you can give, brings you directly to Krishna. I would like now to chant this verse for you. And please note, I will surprise you, because I will change the Sanskrit. Please note, and then I will tell you why.
Kayena vacha manasendriyeva.
Kayena vacha manasendriyeva.
Budhyat manavanushita svabhava.
Budhyat manavanushita svabhava.
hear this. We have to open the windows of the bodies who are almost half dead. If you go again, this was not satisfactory. Maybe I have, we have to go deeper.
Kaye Navacha Manasendriyeva
Kaye Navacha Manasendriyeva
Budyat Manamanushita Svabhava
Budyat Manamanushita Svabhava
Karoti Atyat Sakalan Parasmai
Karoti Atyat Sakalan Parasmai
Narayana Yeti Samapayami
Narayana Yeti Samapayami.
Yes.
Now the verse, you remember what the verse said? Just whatever I do according to my conditioned life, whatever one does according to his conditioned life, he should offer that to the Supreme Lord, saying, no, Narayana Yeti Samapayat Va. Wow, what is this? Yes. But if you do it, then you say, whatever I do according to my particular nature, I offer that to the Supreme, saying, this is for the pleasure of the Lord Narayana. In other words, samapayami means I offer now. So this is how you, the Bhagavatam gives the instruction. And now you must follow the instruction. If you do that, then the last sentence becomes Narayana Yeti Samapayami. Therefore, you will find this verse often in the Sanskrit literature, in our books, with the Samapayami, not Samapayet. I offer my Lord. I may be ignorant. I may be mistaken, but whatever I can do, I offer this, this is for your pleasure, my Lord. Wonderful, no? Everything, my dear devotees, your whole life, why not? You might ask, but Maharaj, what does it then mean? What does it mean to give my body to Krishna? What does it mean to give my senses to Krishna? And what does it mean to give my mind to Krishna? Would you like to know? Good. Good. That's what it is. A little tired, but still strong. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, what does it mean to give one's body to the Lord? What does it mean? Well, it means to engage the ear and other organs in hearing, chanting, remembering and service. That is what many of us do who are asked to lead kirtan. We say, okay, I'm now giving my singing and my ear, I'm giving this point to you for 1.5 hours or 2 hours, according to how long I sing. This is yours now. I'm offering it to you. And if the tongue is engaged in chanting, if the ears are engaged in hearing, if the hands are engaged in service, then one gives one's body to the Lord. Voice you can give to the Lord by speaking about Him. Sometimes when you are alone in your room, you can read the Bhagavatam before the deities. I always do this. I used to read loud. Maybe I should start again so that my deities hear. Yes, but when I'm sitting before the deities, I read to them prayers. This is how to engage the voice. And the hands, clean the temple room.
drive a car. With the hands you drive, with the foot you drive, with your mind you drive, in the service of Krishna. Become a chauffeur for preaching. Why not? It is very good. In this, now it says, here we talk about using everything for Krishna, but the Lord is attained even if one offers him only a part of the body. What an intelligent person would do this. This verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, it's the touchstone among all the verses, and it's the essence of the teachings of the Lord. Amazing. This verse means use your temporary body in the service of Krishna and attain his eternal abode. And he says, a devotee who knows this verse and lives this verse shines in the assembly of other devotees. Buddha Bhavana has observed. Some of you are shining, apparently. You have observed, isn't it? Effulgent. We say the effulgent Vaishnava. It must be because you're doing something right in your life. You're using this what you can do in the service of Krishna. And therefore, you are shining. The result is there. Buddha Bhavana has informed us, if someone is in a loving relationship, he always shines. A child who has loving parents, you can see, is very happy, self-confident. I was requested to give a lecture for the children. It's a great honor. And I saw many of these children as so shining, so self-confident. They explained things and in relationship to what we discussed, and they were extremely confident, and I could understand these children have loving parents, and therefore they are very strong, very confident. They can even play in a theater like anything, because the parents, did you see the small children? They were just participating, and I think they forgot that it was a drama. They were so. I mean, when you ask a child to play, you don't have to ask twice. You know, he just gets into it. Yeah. Sure. For this, we only have to pray once a prayer. May the merciful Lord show mercy on me by demonstrating the misery created by material activities. When you don't do this, my dear devotees, yes, there is excitement in material activities, but there is no deep contentment. The example has been given, and you put fuel into the fire. Yes, the fire becomes big and glares and is full of light, but it will want soon more, otherwise it dies. In other words, a servant of the senses will be serving masters which are never ever satisfied with him, who always demand more and put him into slavery. So please release your life, lead a free life by offering your life in Krishna's service. I will end with Shukadeva Goswami, the fifth canto, gives us an analogy of conditioned life. He speaks of a caravan of merchants who, driven by the desire for wealth, enter into the forest. But in the forest, their adventure turns sour. They are attacked by rogues, by thieves, by jackals. Before long, a breeze flares up, and fire is there and surrounds them with fire. So he says, in the same way as the merchants have entered the forest in order to get some wealth to enjoy it. Roots, gold, silver, minerals. We have all made the mistake to enter the forest of material life. But his analogy has a turning point. At one point, the merchants turn around and say, "My God, this is a dangerous expedition. We have lost already everything. Let us now go home again. This is too dangerous. This is not there." So in the same way, after experiencing tribulations, the jiva finally takes to the path of the Lord's devotees and takes shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord Hari. And the moment he does it, that caravan of humanity, that lost souls, and lost Hare Krishna also, they come back to the service of Krishna, and they become happy and content in all ways. I wish you the wonderful year, my dear devotees. May this, Sangha Mela, may it have given some impetus, some inspiration. If you need inspiration, look at the card. We have given you a card of a forest. Can you just give me I will return it. We have given you this card. If you have not yet received your personal card, you can for sure ask Bhagavan Dhamma and his wife, Siamnam. We have given you a card with a forest. And there is a path which leads back home. It's the forest of Vrindavan. And there is a quotation from Brihad Bhagavatamrita there, where Krishna says, "My heart is attracted to you, my beloved friend. I've always looked down the path by which you would come. I was hoping you would come." So whenever you get lost in the forest, take to another forest, the forest of Vrindavan, look at the card, and it may inspire you to go to this very interesting path where you offer what you can in the service of Krishna. Is this a good inspiration? I won't be on your card, but go to the everyone needs it. I have 5 cards like this. I will put them all over. Put them on the cards. It's a good time to end, I think. Thank you very, very much. Is there any question you would like to ask? I see that you are.
I just wait for the microphone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, oh, wie für dich? Sehr schön, dich zu sehen. Hare Krishna. Kommst du gleich im Anschluss kurz vorbei?
Hare Krishna. Do I understand right that this verse we recited suggests that we can engage our very basic conditioned nature in Krishna's service? I'm personally thinking after my temple life, I had quite a strong revival of my extreme sports tendencies, which I had to or needed to go through. And I always, in a part of me, I had a certain guilt, a certain bad feeling that I can anyway not engage that in Krishna's service, but the urge was so strong. But this verse seems to be suggesting that which these activities came coming from my conditioned nature, I could have actually also engaged in Krishna service by saying this is for you in any way. Yes. And the next doubt I have is, because it's a conditioned nature, it's more than a concept in your head, it's an urge behind it, there's a feeling.
And I must do this.
And isn't this feeling hindering, obstructing our focus and decision that I will do it for Krishna, because this feeling of strong and it's a selfish or a selfish feeling of me?
Mm-hmm.
this there was once a very, very high sadhu. This is a story of Prabhupada, who went begging to a grihastha. A couple who were known to be very materialistic, and he begged, and he said, "I'm hungry. Can you give me something?" And they were very materialistic and felt disturbed. The woman went to the oven or the earth cooking place, took a handful of ashes and threw it into the begging thing. The sadhu said, "Now your service has started." You have heard the stories from Prabhupada. So obviously this is not the highest form of bhakti. Now philosophically speaking, there are three, bhakti can be bhakti in three ways. And it starts from a low degree and it goes higher. There is what is called, this is a little technical, but I will be very fast with this technical part. I also need my notes. There's Aropa City here. There is Aropa City Siddha Bhakti, Aropa Siddha Bhakti, Sangha City Siddha Bhakti, and Svarupa Siddha Bhakti. What's the difference? Aropa Siddha Bhakti is attributive bhakti. What does this mean? You perform some work which has no inherent connection with Krishna, and then you offer the fruits of that work for Krishna. Let us say a businessman makes business by selling furniture, as an example. Yeah, that has nothing to do with bhakti. Furniture is furniture, you know. But by bringing it together with devotional service, it becomes bhakti. He gives the fruit, maybe furniture for the temple, or he will give some Lakshmi, and in this way it becomes bhakti. Aropa Siddha Bhakti. Then there is Sangha Siddha Bhakti. It refers to good activities, like there is someone who is forgiving and compassionate. This is not yet bhakti, you know, to be forgiving and compassionate. These are, you know, they are good people, very good people, who may join organizations like Global Citizen and are forgiving, and they want to help in poor countries. This is not an activity of bhakti. Bhakti is related to Krishna. But they can use this compassion, for instance, in bhakti, when they go preaching and they are all of a sudden compassionate to the many people who are read. Or let us say management skills they have. You know, management itself to you know, organize different things and different categories, and you know, is not, but you can associate that with Krishna and manage a temple for Krishna. This is called Sangha Siddha Bhakti. By association, this skill becomes a limb of bhakti. But then there is Svarupa Siddha Bhakti. In contrast to the other two, this type of bhakti has inherently the potency to deliver Krishna. For instance, hearing about Krishna or chanting his holy name. There is the bhakti shakti in it. The bhakti shakti is not in a furniture business, or the bhakti shakti is not in management skills. But the furniture businessman and the manager can respectively perform Aropa Siddha Bhakti
and Sangha Siddha Bhakti. Sangha means by association. Huh? But we must always do Swarupa Siddha Bhakti. So you can do your extreme sport and somehow dedicate it to Krishna. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you like to jump from parachutes and then you have a Hare Krishna parachute. So the parachuting jumping is an extreme sport, it's not, but you dedicate that with Krishna. You have to be a little creative here, you know, but it's possible. But you must eventually, in order to increase the bhakti in your heart, come to Swarupa Siddha Bhakti. That is the direct processes which are vibrating with the Shakti of the Bhakti Shakti. No? Yeah, as we go and study the scriptures more, these fine details come out. And what can you do when there is? I had one disciple who had the urge to jump out of airplanes and as long as possible fly in the air before. One time the line didn't work, and the disciple just fell from high up on a wire. Imagine, barbed wire. Who is it? It was a Mataji. And then somehow Krishna protected her. I asked him, what did you do? Well, I shouted Hare Krishna. And the thing didn't work. The foolish thing didn't work, you know. And she just fell, bang, on the ground. Then she caught up. There were people had seen the parachute, you know, they had seen the airplane going up. And they'd seen that the lonely little person jumping from the airplane. And they had seen it in the open. Boom! They all fell and they all came to where she landed. She was for a moment reflecting about her life, I guess. Or she was not unconscious. And then she could imagine they were all around her. The poor girl is dying. She's dying. And she got up, looked around, Islas. the North German way of saying it's something wrong, you know. And then home, cried for an hour, and then with a warming bottle in her bed, and next morning went to work. Mataji's like to cry. So. I think that's boss to get out emotions. It's a way to deal with emotions, you know. So I think that's what a natural way of crying. Just imagine. So it became Arupa Siddha Bhakti activity. Yes, you can be yourself. Jayagopal, isn't it nice? You can be yourself, but you must make sure that you bring yourself to Krishna with whatever you can, and you must be sure that you engage in the Swarup Siddha Bhakti. And one day, by the purifying effect of Bhakti, Bhakti Devi herself, the attachment to things which are not so connected with Krishna, like extreme sports, may go. But Krishna, this bhakti is so practical. In karma and jnana, no chance. I remember how Prabhupada encouraged us. I spoke with one of his earlier disciples, Gurudas. When Prabhupada started the movement, he encouraged all kinds of services. There were all kinds of things. Even in San Francisco, for a long time, the picture of Jesus Christ was on the altar. There was no problem. Because, yes, Krishna, devotee of Krishna, everywhere, you know, open Krishna consciousness. Of course, when you have a movement to organize, you have to be. When you organize the movement, it's very necessary that standards are there. Otherwise, If all the brahmacharis do extreme sports here in the Goloka Dham, you know, then maybe they will go to the hospital. Or, you know. No, if you want to read this about the three types of bhakti, Jayagopal, because it's a new point maybe for you. There's a wonderful book of Bhurijan Prabhu out. It's called The Backward Glance. It's a summary of the 11th and 12th canto. And on page 163, there are the three types of bhakti. But if you are a reader, if you are a strong reader, you need to go to the Bhakti Sandarbha Anucheta 217 to 235. This is discussed in Jiva Goswami's language, which of course is highly philosophical. So that is a little bit more simple or easier to understand from. I read this with Bhurijan and then I understood Jiva Goswami. I needed this guidance. If I'm mistaken about the page number, you look in the glossary and you find out Aropa Siddha Bhakti, and then with this keyword you have the, you are directed to the proper page. It's in the glossary. Good. Anyone else? I see another hand there. Yes, Nityananda afterwards. Yes, yes, Prabhu. Ah, Syamananda Prabhu. And let us give the microphone to Syamananda Prabhu. We will just take the three questions and then I will let you go. Don't worry, it will not be an endless class.
When I hear those examples of the mouse
and the other,
and we often hear them, especially at Kartik, I also get a little bewildered how I contrast or hold up against how we always emphasize so much intention and motivation and knowledge, which are very state of themes that you always present. It's so important to have the right intention and motivation. But yet, so far my understanding is that intention and motivation is very important, but it's not the most important. Is that correct? Or it should be just intention and motivation is really, really important. As you always say, it's so important to get the right intention and the right motivation. So how do we bring those stories together with this emphasis on motivation and intention?
I would, because you're an older devotee, and a wonderful, very nice devotee, what do you consider very important? Is there a contrast where you say intention is not as important as this?
Those stories seem to indicate that intention and motivation is not important. It wasn't there, the mouse didn't have the intention to please the Lord.
Sorry.
The servant didn't have the intention to please the Lord.
Yeah.
But yet, he pleased the Lord.
Yes. Thank you.
So, which way is in heavier?
Yes. Thank you very much. I was not picking the point very much. To express something like bhakti, which is coming from the spiritual world, you need many, or you may need different perspectives. One is intention. Other perspective is also that bhakti has an inherent shakti. The example of the touching the fire. Whatever your intention is, or whatever, it has a shakti, it has a power on its own. So, I think these different
let me say, perspectives which there are all very important. Not one is necessarily, well, maybe there's one is more important than the, but no. I think they are all important in order to describe what is bhakti. And you do not need, you need all of them in order to understand bhakti. It's almost like understanding a mountain, like Mountain Kailash. Let us take this example. In order to understand it, or see how it is, you need to walk all around and look from many perspectives. Then you know the different shapes this mountain has. In the same way, bhakti is. Now, the reason why I so much talk about intention during japa and, you know, connection and so on is because as someone who goes as a preacher to Krishna consciousness, one of my services is to preach to devotees, I have seen that this point is sometimes not so much stressed by others, and therefore the devotees may miss this perspective. I have been criticized by saying, in chanting, you must focus your mind on Krishna. I have been challenged and said, what's about Ajamila? He thought about his son, but he still attained a very high result. My answer to this very good challenge, I felt it was a well-intentioned challenge, because we have to discuss, is yes, the process of the holy name has a lot of shakti, even when unintentionally chanted. No? But in order to reach Krishna, he had to go to Haridwar and apply himself to the direct devotional service. You know, he didn't stay there. So it's Ajamil needed both the power of the process, Narayan. You know, and the Vishnu Dutas heard him and gave him a high result without even intentionally calling Narayan. But he also then had to perform devotional service. That's to go back home, back to the Lord. He did not go directly to the Lord because he needed to cultivate Krishna consciousness to go to the Lord. So this need to, thank you very much, yeah. This need to, I feel this need very strongly. The first time I became aware of this is through an article of Bhujan Prabhu. I think you know we are discussing a lot, and we built this retreat center, so we know each other since a long time. He wrote an article which was only given to the GBC members. It said, "Our automatic process." That was the title. And because he also felt we too much stress on, you just do something, even inattentionally and without any information what you're doing, and it will be good and you will go back to Godhead also. No? And he criticized. He said there are statements of Prabhupada which confront that. But Prabhupada also said, anyone who chants, who gets prasadam, you know all these statements. No? So both is true. But I find out, if we don't go in the depths of Krishna consciousness, we will attract superficial people also who like that. Oh yes, I'm safe when I enter this movement. And it's not the experienced reality. Because you need both. Yes, you can come in whatever way you can come, you can do. And it's a broad spectrum, but all the aspects have to be eventually in place to make it last. That would be my answer. But thank you very much for that. I know that Shyamananda has a question that's very productive. Yes. And I'm just, because I see this, and I'm also, this is the way I am. I think you must be deep in life. I was born like this. And I'm not very deep by nature, but I could see it. Oops. You don't get anywhere if you... So I offer this as my service to the Vaishnava community. Yes, but my new book will be on absorption in another of these subjects. For the living name... guidelines in how to chant with absorption. Another typical such fun subject. I agree, but that's me. That's my contribution. But I also will make it clear in the book that the holy name is independently, if you're absorbed or not, powerful and working. Hare Krishna. Yeah, good. I said Nityananda Prabhu, and then the devotees will have to go home. I will close the question then. But if you have, I will stay a little bit here, and you can come if you have time to wait. Yes, Nityananda.
Okay. Based on the verse that you were talking about today, I think it's an excellent verse, and it's very instructional, so we can actually do the elements of bhakti using our day-to-day materialistic life. But one thing I wanted to actually say is, if you wake up early in the morning, say at Mangala Arati, etc., and you say, Lord, I offer all of my activities that I'm doing today to you, that's one way of actually doing that. Mm-hmm. Because you don't know what you're doing. The day is clean. You don't know what's going to actually participate in the whole day from the beginning of the morning to the end of night. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you do that, I'm assuming that everything that you are doing, you're making that connection to Krishna. But I also think this verse is very, very powerful. If you subconsciously think the next activity you're going to do, you offer that to say, hey Gopal, I'm going shopping, let's go shopping, and make that connection. Or like the example, Gopal, we're waking up, let's brush our teeth, making that connection. And so that requires a little bit more work to actually say, to make that connection for the activity, the mundane material activity that you're actually going to do. But it's making that connection for the basic elements of bhakti. What would you say is better? Is it better to actually reflect, to say everything that I'm actually doing today, in the beginning for the day, all of my activities I'm dedicating to you? Or as you're going along, do you offer that consciously, and then you're making a very strong connection because you're thinking of Gopal each activity that you're doing.
Mm-hmm. I understand what you say. Thank you for asking. Mm-hmm. I know there's a statement from Srila Jiva Goswami who says, for bhakti to become bhakti, you have to say or be conscious before you offer it that this is for Krishna.
Yes.
If you do it afterwards, or I've done something, now I'm giving it to Krishna, that would be like karma bhakti yoga. No? So you have burned something or you've produced some furniture, and then, okay, now let me give it to Krishna. So bhakti means to be conscious by doing it for Krishna. That's Rupa Goswami's definition of bhakti. He says it must be for Krishna. Body, mind, and words must be used. Words, yes. And it must have the intention to please Him. So, The best is if you come to a stretch, you know, an activity, you say, my Lord, this is for you, then you're more conscious. But yes, maybe you're not able to do that. Maybe it's you are like Arjuna. I can imagine when Arjuna was fighting, he had to be so brisk, so fast, you know, that... Mind you, he's not an ordinary bowman, he is Vamantra, he did. So he... Krishna has said, fight for me. Hmm? Do this for me. This. I don't know if before every... I can imagine when he went from one part of the battlefield to another and took on the Nachiketas. Ooh, the terrible Nachiketas. Then he must have said, okay, Krishna, you are good. It's difficult to speculate how he did, but you should, theoretically, you should work yourself up to the level where you can always think of Krishna and never forget him. That's our goal, not yes, theoretically, practically. So do as best as possible. Start with maybe the Mangal Aarti once a day, and then in the evening when you go to bed, you go, oh Krishna, that was a day. Let's call it a day. and then you say, I hope I was pleasing you some days. And more, increase. I thank you very much. I'm aware that time is here, is of the essence at this moment. I wish you a wonderful, wonderful year. I hope to see you many more times this year. And I want to remind you of Gaurav Hari's kind offer. It's an offer which is also, of course, there in the London temples or in the farm temples and all our temples. If you can come for some time in your life, maybe half a year or 1 year or a quarter of a year, and render service in the temple. This will give you a very, very good basis for your spiritual life. Really, it seemed that the devotees who had this training in the temple to accept an authority, to take part in the sadhana, rise early, take part in the programs, they really are very much benefited in their spirit for the rest of their life. Isn't it, Jai Gopal? What would we have been? What would you have been without the training? It's very, very necessary. So please, all of you, consider to join us in Goloka Dham or in the Bhaktivedanta Mela or in the farm, wherever. Please join us and give your... We would be very happy. We need you in these projects. Hare Krishna. Amen.